G'day, Reece Dowden here, and welcome to another episode of Selection Bullet Points, episode 23. And just remember, if you're going to be going and attempting selection, make sure you check out operatoredge.com/selection, and you'll find a number of different free resources there that'll help you in your selection journey. But let's get into today's episode. And today's episode came about because there was a few questions in my Facebook group, in the Selection Close Facebook group, and my Indefatigable group as well, for those who have purchased the course and are involved in that. And it was about the different pathways towards SF. So, you know, a lot of this stuff I thought, I guess, you know, people knew, but if you haven't joined the Army, obviously, you know, you won't necessarily know, or you're receiving the wrong information. I mean, it's interesting, you get I get a lot of questions, and guys and girls think they have the right information, and it's totally incorrect. So let's go through what I want to do today is clear up a few of those points and go through the pathway towards selection and special operations in the military. All right, police tactical units. Each state is a little bit different in what they have to do. It still follows a basic lines of or the basic pathway of and you got to be in the police for a certain amount of time, probably 18 months, 2-3 years, and then you do basically an entry test, and then you do selection, and then you do your continuation cycle before you get in the unit. All right, so that's the police, and they sort of what they have to do on their entry tests and selections are obviously different, same as their continuation cycle after that. But I'm just going to concentrate on the military today and the actual SF pathway and clear up a lot of different points. All right, so within the Army, or really within the military, there's a couple of different special operations groups. Okay, so you've got Specialized Service Regiment over in Perth. You've got the Commander Regiments, two Commander Regiment, which is full-time. You've got one Commander Regiment with that are reserves, and you've got one company and two company based in Sydney and Melbourne. Respectively, all right. You've got the Special Operations Engineer Regiment, and then you've got different supporting elements from there, all right. So you've got SIGs, medics, aviation, transport, RAMI, that kind of thing. And those people in the supporting elements will get posted to those units, all right. Within the Air Force, you have the combat controllers. Now, they're not technically under SOCOM, but their whole job is to work with SOCOM assets, so SASR and commandos. All right, so you've got the combat controllers there. The Navy have clearance divers. Again, they're not technically under SOCOM. They're not technically special operations, but they do work with special forces units, such as on TAG East, as the wateries or the water platoon, and they do all the you know, subsurface stuff. Okay, so if you're going for clearance divers, it's not a bad pathway, because then you can actually be attached to two commando specifically. Those guys, if you want to do that, if you want to go and serve on TAG and some domestic counterterrorism duties, you have to do ACQB, and you would do that. You would jump on a course, or that year's ACQB course with all the reinforcement guys. Okay, so all the guys on the reinforcement cycle that just passed selection going for commandos, you would jump on as a clearance diver. You would jump on that ACQB course, and you have to pass that. From there, you'd be posted to the water platoon, and then you get an as a clearance diver in the Navy, posted to TAG East. You would get a number of different, or have the opportunity to get a number of different qualifications up, a number of different special forces qualifications, like MOE, which is method of entry, so a lot of explosive stuff, driving, roping, you know, those kind of qualifications, which are pretty cool, and they wouldn't get just as a normal clearance diver. Okay, any branch of the military can attempt selection for both commandos and SASR. All right, so from any field, any branch, any job role, right, you can attempt special operations or special forces selection for both commandos and SAS. SOA, so the Special Operations Emergency Regiment, you must be a combat engineer, all right, and then from there, once you join the regular army as a combat engineer, then you can do selection for SOA. CCTs must be in the Air Force. Somebody can correct me on that if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure you have to be in the Air Force to then go for a combat controller. And clearance divers, you obviously must be in the Navy, but you can join that from obviously any branch. same as CCTs. If you're in another branch, if you're in the army, for example, you could just go and, you know, transfer across to clearance divers or Air Force to become CCT, all right? But you have to be in that branch to try it for those roles. Let's look at the pathway into SF and what it looks like, okay? So if you wanted to go Army Special Forces, right? So you can join the military, either in a full-time role, in a part-time role in Army Reserves. You can go through the Special Forces Direct Recruiting Scheme, and like I mentioned before, any branch of the military. So from there, once you're in the military, all right, you would then do a certain amount of time. I can talk about that a little bit later. Certain amount of time, and then you put in, once the nominations come out, you put in for Special Forces. You say you want to do it, okay? You put in the relevant paperwork, and then you would get penalized for the Special Forces entry test. You do that. Then if you pass, you get on selection. Complete that, then you're on the reinforcement cycle. Complete that, and then you would be badged, okay? You would get your beret. Okay, as there's also an option of what they call the Special Forces pre-selection course, and that's generally, or not generally, but it's part of the Special Forces Direct Recruiting Scheme pathway. Again, I'll go through that in a minute. But anyone can get on the pre-selection course, the SF pre-selection course. It's an 8-week course. And if you're not an infantry, if you're not in an arms corps, if you're not in the army, for example, it's a good way to go. All right. So if you're really anything outside of full-time infantry, really consider that pre-selection course. Right. So what you're going to do, it's an 8-week course. You're going to conduct the entry test during that 8 weeks. And you're basically going to go through, it's like an advanced infantry course, right? They used to actually call it advanced infantry course. But they call it pre-selection course now. And you're just going to practice what you're going to be assessed on during selection, throughout a selection. So different soldier skills, infantry minor tactics, weapons, navigation, comms, first aid, that kind of stuff. So again, if you're not infantry, you can put in for it. Anyone can put in for it. And I would definitely do so to make sure you're up to speed on those soldier skills, all right? So that's a general pathway towards SFET. Join the military, do the entry test, do selection, do Rio, you get badged. Okay? Let's look at the Special Forces Direct Recruiting Scheme and what it looks like. So first of all, you'll go and apply. You'd have to go through the standard application for the Army, where you put in for you fill in all the paperwork, you do your what's it called? The aptitude testing, you do your medical testing, and then you do your assessment day as well. And after you get through all of that, just one point on that, if you're going to go DRS, you really want to be fully prepared. You want to be totally across what the direct recruiting scheme is. It's only for commandos, so you want to know exactly what that's about, attributes and traits we're testing on selection, what the unit does, all that kind of stuff, because the psychs, the recruiting team, they want to know that you're ready, that you know what you're getting yourself in for and that you've prepared, okay? So make sure you do the research there. Once you get all through that, okay, so get through your aptitude, your use session, your aptitude, your medical, okay, and then your assessment day with the interview, okay, with the psych and the ADF recruiter, then you would do a PFA. PFA consists of 40 standard push-ups, 6 standard overgrasp he's, 60 sit-ups, and 10.1 on the beep test. Okay, so I mean, really not too difficult to achieve that, especially if you're going for that role, you should be easily fit enough to smash those, because that's really just the sort of basic entry test. The levels are, the standards are higher than the regular army, but really 40 push-ups, 6 heaves, 60 sit-ups, and 10.1 on the beep test. You should be able to achieve that easily if you're going to be going down the Special Forces pathway. From there, once you get accepted into DRS, and they'll scale you also 1 to about 50, I think it is, or 1 to 30 or whatever. And so obviously the higher you score, better chance you are getting picked up pretty tough role to get picked up on or pathway to go down because there's a lot of interest in it. So a lot of people are applying. So you really need to be one of the top candidates there. But once you get accepted for DRS, you would then go to Kapooka for 80 days. You would then go to Singleton where you do your infantry employment training for 72 days. And then you do your pre-selection course for 8 weeks. Then, and within that, you do your entry, your Special Forces entry test. And then you do selection, you're on selection, get through that. Selection is about 19 days. Then you get through that. You're on Rio for about 12 months, and then you get badged. Okay. From Kapooka, okay, still on the SFDRS pathway, from Kapooka to selection, it's at least 12 months if you join in October. Okay, so commando selection is in October each year at the moment. They've been running that for quite a while now, a number of years. The SAS is in April or May, okay? And generally, it's been like that for many years now. So if you go on DRS pathway, from Kapooka to selection, it's about 12 months. So if you join in October 1 year, you'll do selection the next October, right? However, last couple of years, they've been doing an intake or a cohort for DRS in May. Right, and a lot of people think that if you go in May 1 year, that you're going to be doing selection that October. No, okay, you won't do selection till the following October. So it's like 18 months before you do selection. The total duration of the course, if you just quickly added them up, or if you've known anything about this, is around 8 months. Okay, so it's about 3 months for Kapooka, 3 months for Singleton IET infantry training, and then you've got your pre-selection course. Okay, so it's about 8 months. What do you do for the rest of the 4 months until selection? Well, you're in the army, so they're going to fuck you around. Okay, so you want to get used to that. You might be waiting around in what they call holding platoon. So once you finish Kapooka, you might be waiting around for a while before they get the numbers up to then start an IET course for infantry. Often, what I'm hearing, the guys are finishing Kapooka. You know, they're starting in October. They'll do 3 months: October, November, December, and then you'll go on Christmas leave. Probably for like 2 months, right? And then you come back and it might be a month or so before you kick into training. So that might start February or March. You do 3 months there. And then after infantry training, you get handed over to ADF School of Special Operations. And that's where they take control of you. And you'll be doing your pre-selection course. But that won't start till sort of August, I believe, August, September. And then that leads into selection, which is October. So you've got a couple of months there. You'll just be at the beck and call of the army. Maybe if you're in DRS, maybe if you're a part of SOCOM then or the ADF School of Special Operations, you might pick up a course here and there. But be prepared. There's a lot of, you know, hurry up and waiting. Okay, so plenty of time to train and get your physical abilities where they should be. But rest assured as well, the PTI is a part of SOCOM. They've been doing or getting guys ready for selection from DRS pathway for a long time now, so they should get your physical standards up to speed. However, if you're going to go through DRS, you should be really fit and really conditioned before you even go to Kapooka. Okay, a lot of guys go through DRS, they're not conditioned, and then they'll just get injured once you start heavy pack marching. So you want to have your body conditioned substantially in regards to especially pack marching and load carrying weight, okay? By the way, we call it pack marching. We don't call it rucking, right? So don't use that term. That's a UK and US term, okay? So we call it pack marching. The other thing to consider with DRS is just like signing up to the regular military, it's a four-year commitment, okay? The other question I often get asked, guys coming from the regular army, if you're already infantry, for example, regular army, you do selection, is there a ROSO or return of service obligation once you get through a selection and Rio and get badge? And no, there isn't. Okay. So if you've signed up for 4 years for the military, if you go in the full-time army, you sign up for infantry, that's the 4 years that your return of service obligation is. You might do, say you did 2 years, say you did 3 years, which is probably more realistic, and then you did selection, and then you did Rio, you got badged. Basically, your 4 years would be up, okay? So you can leave whenever you want. Special Operations is not going to hold you there if you don't want to be there, even if you're DRS, okay? If you go through all the training and you get there, and I remember this happened specifically to a guy I know, I think he went through the selection before I did. He went through everything, part of DRS, got in the unit, went overseas, didn't like it, and asked to leave, okay? And I think he actually got, so he didn't do his 4 years and he got out. He got out early, extenuating circumstances, war service, all that kind of stuff. But basically, if you go DRS, you've got your 4 years to do. If you don't want to do it in SOCOM, you still probably owe the Army at least the 2 years, okay? So if you went through your training as DRS to get to selection, that's about a year. You do selection rear and you get badged, that's another year. So if you all of a sudden went, nah, I don't want to do it anymore, you still got 2 years to serve, okay? But, you know, that would be rare. If you go through all that, you're going to spend a couple of years in the unit. Okay, so that's a DRS pathway. All right, what about guys going the other route? So General Army, in a full-time or part-time capacity. So one of the questions I always get asked is, when after joining, will you be able to attempt selection? So it all depends on your age as well. But what they like really, and to further or enhance your chances of getting through selection, you're going to be wanting to do at least 18 months to 2 years. Okay, longer if you're really young. If you join at 17 or 18 years old and you do 18 months, 2 years, you're 20, you know, getting through selection is going to be really difficult, all right? If you join at 27 and you go through all the training, 18 months, 2 years, no problem, okay? I've mentioned this before on different other podcasts. You know, the majority of guys that get through are anywhere from sort of 22 to or the majority of guys are probably 20, 25 to 32, and there's definitely guys outside of that. I had guys that were 22 on mine. I had a guy that was 37 as well. But the majority of guys are probably around 25 to sort of 32, okay? If you join at 18, though, and because I've just said that majority of guys get through at, say, 25, 32, don't wait that long, though, okay? If you join at 18, you do, say, 3-4 years, you're 21, 22, and you feel ready, go for it, okay? You don't know, and I've had a lot of guys email me, they're saying that they're planning, they're 18, 17, 18, they join the Army and they wait till they're 25. You don't know what's going to go on in that 7 years, okay? Anything could happen. Life could get in the way. You could get injured. Once you do a few years and you're ready, I can test yourself. Go for it, okay? Let's look at the Army Reserve route. Same thing, 18 months to 2 years, depending on your age and your experience before you can before you want to or feel confident to do selection. I think I knew one guy who'd only been in the Army for about 70, as in 70 days from joining Army Reserve till he did selection, and he actually got all the way through. He didn't get picked up, probably lack of experience there, but, you know, bloody good on him for being in the Army for such a short period of time, getting through selection, and he's going to go back and do it again as well. But if you go on the Army Reserve route, it's basically the same thing. You know, you do Kapuka and then your other training from there. So basically 35 days at Kapuka, and then if you go in infantry, you'll do 2 2-week blocks of infantry training before you're a qualified infantryman. And then from there, you get as much experience as you possibly can, okay, in reserve. So I do as many courses as you can, volunteer for extra days, enemy party, you know, that kind of thing. Anything that comes up, anything to get your hands on. Okay, hands on weapons, hands on radios, hands on first aid, infantry minor tactic, foreign weapons, which is why enemy party is good. But anything you can do, okay? And generally with reserves, you know, they say you can do up to 100 days, but you can definitely do more than that. And a lot of reserve units, especially with what is going on now, you can put in for more days. So do as much as you can. And once you're ready, then you just apply for selection as well. Okay, so you'd put in the paperwork, do the entry test with everyone full time, same entry test, and then the same selection course as well. Okay, so you do the same selection course with guys going full time. As a reservist, okay, if you wanted to stay Army Reserve, right, you would go to one commando and one company or two company in Sydney or Melbourne. So you can do that. After selection, though, you need to do Rio, obviously. There is an option to do it over 3 years. However, it'd be much better to do it within the 12 months, okay? If you do selection and you're going through it with a bunch of guys, if you get through it with those guys, it's better to do Rio with those guys, okay? And you're really going to maintain that momentum. It'd be tough. I think it personally would be tough to get through selection, say, do a couple of courses here and there, come back 3 or 4 months later, try and do another few courses, you've kind of lost some momentum there, okay? So definitely better to do it straight in 12 months with the group of guys that you've gone through selection with. But from reserves, if you want to transfer full-time, you can do that, okay? So as a reservist, again, you put in, you do the entry test, put in for, say you want to go to SF, do the entry test, do selection, and then do full-time Rio, and then you just say, I want to go full-time, okay? And they're not going to transfer over to full-time until you've completed Rio because, you know, up to sort of 30% of guys don't get through Rio, so they're not going to sign you up there after selection. So, again, if you wanted to, you're in reserves, you wanted to stay reserve commandos, fine. If you want to transfer over full-time to two commando, you would do that after the reinforcement cycle. All right. Now let's look at the SFED activities, okay, the Special Forces Entry Test activities, what you'll have to do on the day, and this is just the physical component. There is a theory test as well. If you're in the Army, they give you a study guide on the DRN, so have a look at that. But basically the activities are heaves, push-ups, sit-ups, 3.2 Webbing run, 90-minute pack march, and a 400-meter swim. So the heaves are cadence this time, okay? If you go on DRS, doing the PFA, the pre-fitness assessment, it's just normal chin-ups or normal heaves, not to a cadence. For the entry test, it's cadence heaves, okay? 7 minimum, but really you want to be doing sort of 10 and over to be competitive. Push-ups again, cadence push-ups, 40 at a minimum, but you probably want to be doing over 50 to be competitive. Sit-ups, if you're not doing 100, I don't know why, unless you've got an abdominal or a hip flexor injury, maybe, and then getting through selection is going to be tough anyway. But sit-ups, you're obviously going to do 100. They're a piece of piss. 3.2K webbing run. Okay, you've got to do that in boots and rifle with your cams on, and that's under 16 minutes. If you're not a great runner, even if you are a great runner, it's an absolute prick of a run. You've got to do it under 16 minutes. Really, in training, you want to be doing it under 15 minutes, okay, to allow for a blowout on the day with nerves. Maybe you go, I remember when we did ours, we did a kit check in the hot sun for a couple of hours, and we did a really extended and thorough warm-up, and it was quite hot. So you want to give yourself at least a minute, but really to be competitive, you probably want to be going under 15 minutes. You know, it's not a huge deal, but if you can, obviously, the better you can go, it obviously looks good on your report card throughout the entry test and on selection as well. Then you'll do the 90-minute pack march. All right, that's with 28 kilos. So you've got your 8 or 9 kilos in your webbing, same as with your pack, and with your rifle as well. So, but pack and webbing are way up to, has to weigh 28 kilos, and you got your rifle on top of that. Generally, the red gun, which is pretty light, it's like maybe 3 kilos, okay? But you want to do, or you've got to do at least 10 Ks on that in that 90 minutes. But to be competitive, you want to be doing over 11 Ks, really. It shouldn't be that much of a struggle. And you can shuffle as well, or you can run, and you've got to work out the best sort of shuffle run ratio for you. Depending on who you are, but you should get over 11 clicks. Sometimes I only do a 45-minute pack march, depending on the day, depending on the conditions, depending on how hot it is. So if you're going to be doing sort of 45 minutes on the day, you're probably looking, want to be doing 6.5K to be competitive. All right. Then from there, they go into the swim test, which is different than when I did it. These activities are very similar to when I did it, even when I first did it, when I attempted SAS back in 2002, I think they did the entry test. Still very similar, slight differences, but particularly the pack marching, but very, very similar. With the 400-meter swim, they do it after the pack march now, okay? When I did it, it was before the pack march, so cramping was limited. But it seems to be a lot of people cramp now, okay? So once you've done the pack march and once you've sort of blown out your, or not blown out, but worked your calf muscles really well, people dive in the pool and they start to cramp up. So take that into consideration when you're training, okay? To make sure that when you practice your entry tests, you do it in that order, okay? So you get comfortable and used to jumping in the pool after a pack march, after going hard for 90 minutes. You want to do your 2 minutes of tread water and then into a 400 meter swim in cams and runners. Okay. And you got to do the 400 meter swim in 16 minutes. Really, you should be able to do it in sort of, you know, 14 minutes easily. Okay. I mean, I've done swimming for since I was a kid. I did it in around 10 minutes. Obviously, you don't need to do it that fast, but you should definitely be doing it probably 13 minutes. But really, don't, especially if you've got commando selection, you don't want to be just struggling to do 400 meters and think you're good to go, because on commando selection, you do up to three hour pull sessions. So you need to be comfortable in the water. You need to be confident in the water. You need to be efficient in the pool, okay, for commando selection. If you don't, you're going to be found out in selection. You're not going to last long. They'll probably pull you out for a safety reason anyway if you're not really comfortable in the water. So if you're not, make sure you get comfortable. Make sure you get lessons, all right? Become efficient in the pool. All right, so that's all the entry activities. Let's take a quick look at selection. So once you get through the entry test, you're on selection. You have to do the 3.2K run again. All right, so webbing, in cams, in boots, with your rifle, about 8 kilos, 8 to 9 kilos of webbing. And again, under 16 minutes to be competitive, like I said, you know, as close to 15 minutes as possible. Then you got to do your 20 clicker. Okay, you got your 28 kilos and your weapon. You got 3 hours 15 to do it. But again, to be competitive, you want to be going under 3 hours. Again, shouldn't be too hard if you train for it. Then moving on for different selection activities, right? I'm not going to go through exactly what you'll be tested on, exactly how it goes, all right? But you'll be assessed on other activities such as, you know, working from heights, confined spaces, obviously weapons, comms, first aid, all arms call for fire, infantry minor tactics, that kind of thing, and a few other things. You'll be doing a solo navigation phase, 3 to 4 days on commandos, 9 or 10 days on SASR. Then you'll go into team-based activities, and you'll be finishing with either DMARC for commandos, which is 3 to 4 days, and lucky dip for SASR, which is 5 days. All right, so that's the selection activities. Okay. All right, so that's basically the pathway towards SF. Right, the pathway, whether you want to go Army SF, whether you want to go combat controls is the same thing actually. You would put in, you've got to do the entry test, you do commando selection, and then you do most of the same Rio. Okay, so have a look at that. If you want to go down that pathway, combat control would be a great job. Navy clearance divers, they got their own sort of pathway, but if you wanted to then jump on and work on TAG, you would have to do the advanced close quarter battle course, and then you get some other awesome quals once you're on TAG. All right, any part of the military branch can try out for commandos or SAS, and do the pre-selection course if you're not infantry. Do the 8-week pre-selection course, you're good to go. But basically, as a wrap up, whatever you want to do, SAS commandos, you have to join the military, do the entry test, do selection, do Rio, and then you get badged. Okay, I went through the SF DRS pathway just to, I guess, reiterate some points there. The PFA or the pre-fitness assessment, that's very, very, very basic. You should be able to smash that. Depending on when you start Kapuka, it's going to be 12 to 18 months before you do selection. Okay, minimum of 4 years return service obligation there. And whether you join outside of the SF DRS pathway, time-wise, from joining the military to doing selection, at least 18 months to 2 years, depending on your age, probably longer if you're quite young. Okay, Army Reserve, same thing, 18 months to 2 years. Put your hand up for as many courses you want. Get your hands on all the equipment. And then same thing, entry test. Do selection. You can stay Army Reserve in one commando, or you can transfer over to 2 commando. If you stay Army Reserves, you're doing the same entry test, same selection, and then you have an option to do Rio over 3 years at this stage. But I would do it in the 12 months with the cohort that you've just gone through selection with, and maintain the momentum there, maintain the rage to really help you get through Rio, because like I said, you lose up to 30% on that. If you want to Army Reserve, you want to transfer full time, you'll do entry test, you'll do selection, you complete Rio, and then you would sign up full time. Okay? Went through the entry test activities, cadence ease, cadence push-ups, sit-ups, 3.2 Webman K run, 90-minute pack march, 2-minute tread water, 400-minute swim test in there. And in between the 3.2 and the 90-minute pack march, you'll be doing your theory test, okay? And you'll also do an interview with the SF guys, okay? SF panel. Selection activities, again, you'll do the 3.2. These are called gates. So your 3.2 and 20 clicker, you must pass those. Otherwise, you'll be booted. And then you'll be assessed on all the other things on selection there. All right. So hopefully that clears up a lot of questions in regards to the SF pathways, how you do it, how you can do it, what you need to do to get there, and the time that you might need to serve before you do it, as well as a SFDRS pathway. If you've got any questions, okay, make sure you hit me up. Email me, reese@operatoredge.com. Send me a Facebook message. Send me an Instagram message. My handle is reese_Dowden there. And if you're not in the Facebook group, the selection Facebook group, come and join it. You just search operatoredge-selection, request to be added, and I'll add you in there. That's it for this podcast. I really hope you got a lot out of it, and I really hope it clears anything up. And I will see you in the next one. Thanks.